Morning. Today's Daf Menachos Nun Tes. We start today in the Mishnah Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and we are now going to get into the details regarding Menachos. I know we are halfway through the Masechta, more than halfway through the Masechta, but Kedarka Bekodesh, this is how the Mishnayos work. This is how the organization of the Masechta generally works. Is that in the beginning we speak about the more overarching ideas, concepts, ideas like Lishma and various other major concepts, and then we get into the details regarding the actual menachos themselves. And here, a Mishnah that goes over the very basics in terms of what's the composite of a mincha, what is it made of? So basically, we could put menachos in four different categories in terms of what it's made of. Before we start with the Mishnah, let's just go quickly back to the Torah Shebechsav, and then we'll go back to the Torah Shebaalpeh. So in the Torah, we get the introduction to a menachos from the second paragon in Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra. So the Torah talks about the bringing of a mincha. V'nefesh, says the Torah. This is the first pasuk in Perek Beis. V'nefesh ki sakriv karban mincha l'Hashem. So if an individual, now you see the word nefesh over there, we're going to spend a lot of time over the upcoming days, weeks, focusing on the word v'nefesh. It's certainly an interesting way to describe somebody who's going to be bringing a karban mincha. V'nefesh ki sakriv karban mincha l'Hashem solas yiyya karbano. So it's made up of fine flour. Okay. One point in my life, I actually ground wheat into flour. One time, it happened. But the solus is talking about the real fine stuff that comes out when you grind it. Meaning, yeah, that's right. When you grind the wheat kernel, so there is the coarser bran that's contained in the wheat kernel, and there's also the fine flour. So when the Torah here speaks about solus, it means that we're trying to extract the fine flour. Obviously, that requires a sifting. We're going to be talking later in the Masechta about the sifting process. But anyway, so the Torah over here gives us a very basic composite of what a mincha is going to look like. It's going to have flour, specifically fine flour, oil, and lavona. Now, the lavona we're going to be talking about in the course of today, just everyone keep in mind, we've said this before. Lavona is not put into the mincha. It's not part of the ingredients of the mincha, but rather the lavona, which is a very coarse, it's called frankincense. I don't know if that helps you. It does not help me. But anyway, it's a very coarse spice that's laid on top of it. And then what happens is that you lay the lavona on top, and then you take the lavona off, and it's burnt on the mizbeach together with the kemitza of a mincha. Ve'avial b'nei Aaron, and just running through the psukim, it's brought to I'm just going to go a little quicker through the psukim. So first the Torah introduces us to the idea of kametz, where the kohen takes a kemitza from the mincha together with all of the lavona and burns it on the mizbeach. And Pasuk Gimel, anything left over, which is the majority of the mincha, obviously, because only the kemitza is taken up and burnt on the top of the mizbech. So the noseres, anything that's left over, we refer to as the shirayim. So that is going to be given to Aaron Avanav, Kodesh Kadashim Eishe Hashem, and falls under the category of Kodesh Kadashim, which means a couple of things. It can only be eaten by Zechrei Kahuna in the Azara. And so it's like Chatzos, it's like Asham in that regard. You can only eat it for one day and the following night. Good. And now the Torah goes ahead and outlines various different types of menachos. So I know it's funny. We're Daf Nun Tes, 59 of the Masechta. And quite frankly, we haven't yet heard this idea that there are different types of menachos. Now again, Torah Shebechsav, the Torah tells us. But in the Mishnayos, we haven't yet covered that issue. Today's going to be like one of those first days where we really start tackling the various different types of menachos. So that's why I think it's a good time to just simply look at the Pesukim and read the Pesukim inside. So the Torah first talks about an oven-baked mincha. So of the oven-baked mincha, so it can come in one of two different ways. Chalos matzos bulos b'shemen, it can either come as chalos. Now chalos will translate as loaves, meaning the word chala, elsewhere in the Torah, the word chala is talking about the portion that's given to the kohen. Here in this context, chala means a loaf, meaning something which is thicker. Or rikikim matzos meshuchim b'shemen, or it could be rikikim, which are wafers, or thinner in nature. So those are two different types of oven-baked menachos. We're going to learn later on that there are 10 loaves that are going to be part of either one of the mafetanors, either the challah or the matzos. Can it be a combination of the two? We'll touch on that also later on. Anyway, the next pasuk. Now, if you're going to make it a machvas, machvas is a shallow pan like a griddle. So basically, it's going to be like a pancake, but fried in a pan. So pasosos opitim ve'atzak alah shaman mincha hi. You break it up into pieces. You pour oil on top of it. That's a mincha. And later in the Masechta, we're gonna explain the detail regarding the machvas. And then ve'al minchas marcheshes kar minchas solos b'shemen te'aseh. Now, if you're going to make a marcheshes, marcheshes is a deep pan. So in other words, it's going to be fried, but it's going to be fried in a deeper pan. Then the Torah talks about the mitzvah of Hagasha. The mitzvah of Hagasha is the presentation of the mincha to the southwest corner of the mizbech. Torah once again repeats the idea of taking off a portion and burning on the mizbech, otherwise known as the kamitza. And the Torah repeats the idea of the shirayim eaten by the Kohanim. And then, we're almost done. We already spent a number of days on this pasuk, right? 2:11, Perek Beis, pasuk Yed Aleph. So we already spent a lot of time going over the various yisurim laid in this pasuk of making sure that it's no leavening agent, no honey, date honey, and anything which is shirayim cannot be offered on the mizbeach. Okay. There are a couple more psukim vis-a-vis menachos. Again, I'm just going to quickly run through them. We're already up to pasuk Yud Beis. Kamen reshis takrivo osam la'ashem el ha-mizbech lo yalu l'reach nicholach. Karban reshis, a first karban. So as we learned earlier, there are some karbanos that can be offered as chametz. So over here, reshis, what is the reshis making reference to? So Rashi and Chumash, together with what we already learned in the Gemara as well. So this is a reference to the Shtei Alechem. So karban reshis takrivo osam la'ashem la'mizbech lo yalu l'reach nicholach. However, it's not offered on the mizbech. The kol karban minchascha b'melch timlach v'lo sashvitz melch b'ris alokecha me'al minchasecha akol kar mincha takriv melach. Pasuk Yigimel, salt. Pasuk Yidalet. V'im takriv minchas bikurim la'ashem aviv kalui ba'ish kerish karmel takriv eis minchas bikurecha. Another first mincha. What is this making? What is this a reference to? Rashi and Chumash. We'll also see it later on as well. This is a reference to the Karban Omer. The Venasat Allah Hashem Vesamta Allah Lavona. Oil. Lavona. Minchahi. It's a mincha. Viktira Kohenes Azkarasa Migirsal Mishamna. Akol Lavonta Yishal Hashem. Okay. That's it. That's the entire Parsha in the Torah regarding mincha. Now it comes up again in Parsha Tzav. In other words, that was just Vayikra. But that's it. In other words, 16 psukim and Parshas Vayikra, introducing us to the concept of menachos. Let's start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins now in Testament Aleph Yeshu Hashem and Lolavona. So basically, we're going to have menachos into four different categories. So some menachos, and we could say the vast majority of them, have both oil and lavona as a composite of what the mincha is made of. Second category, shemen velo lavona. Some menachos have oil but no lavona. Third category, Lavona velo shemen. Some menachos have Lavona, but not oil. And the fourth category, velo Lavona velo shemen. And some menachos have neither Lavona nor shemen. Okay. Ve'elotu no shemen u Lavona. And these are a listing of the menachos that require both oil and Lavona. And the Mishnah here goes and gives us the list. I counted. It's 10. So, minchas hasolos, the fine flour mincha, hamachvas, the shallow pan, the griddle, hamarcheshes, the deep dish, hachalos, the oven baked, which are more loaf like in nature, harikikin, oven baked, which are thinner in nature, minchas kohanim, the mincha offered by a kohen, minchas kohen mashiach, the kohen gadol's mincha, which we discussed extensively earlier in the Masechta. We're already up to number 8, minchas ove kochavim, the mincha offered by a non-Jew. Yes, that can happen. We'll talk more about that later. Minchas nashim, a mincha offered by a woman, minchas ha'omer, and the mincha of an omer. So these are 10 different menachos. It's 10 in total, right? I counted. So these are 10 menachos, and you'll see why the number 10 becomes significant when we get to the Gemara. 10 menachos in total, which are going to be the full mincha, meaning it has both shemen and lavona. Second category, minchas nesachim teunos, shemen ve'ein teuna lavona. What fits under category two? Only one mincha. A mincha that has oil but no lavona, that's the mincha sasachim. When you bring a standard carbon, so as an accessory to the carbon, there is nesachim. The nesachim is going to be made up of two parts. It's going to be both wine, which is poured on the southwest corner of the top of the mizbech, and flour and oil made into a mincha. A looser mincha, I use the word looser because, as we learned earlier, instead of having a one log shemen, it has three logan of shemen. So it has oil, in fact, a lot more oil than your standard mincha, but there's no lavona. Third category of the Mishnah. Lechem aponim tam lavona vein tam shemen. So the lechem aponim that's eaten by the Kohanim on a weekly basis, baked on Erev Shabbos, placed on the Shulchan on Shabbos, stays over the course of the week on the Shulchan. Next Shabbos removed, replaced with a new lechem aponim that was baked on Erev Shabbos, etc., etc. And the cycle continues. So this lechem aponim is made up of flour and water, but no oil. It has lavona. Now, when we say it has lavona of the lechem aponim is interesting. We've gone over this idea before. It's not, the lavona is not spread on top of the actual lechem aponim. It's actually contained in two bowls or spoons, whatever you want to call them. In Lashon HaTorah, it's called bazichin. And those two spoonfuls of lavona, what's going to happen on Shabbos is that they're going to be taken off the two columns. The lechem aponim are 12 loaves in total, stacked into two columns of six high, and the two spoonfuls are resting on the top of the two columns. Those spoonfuls are going to be taken off the lechem aponim, taken to the outer mizbech, and burnt on the outer mizbech. And they serve as a matir for the lechem aponim. And that's it. There's no kemitza by the lechem aponim, an idea also we've gone over a number of times. No oil in the lechem aponim. That was the third category of the Mishnah. So in category two and category three, really there's only one mincha that fits into category two and one mincha that fits into category three. Only the mincha sasachim has oil but no lavona. Only the lechem aponim has lavona but no oil. Shtei halechem, category four. Shtei halechem minchas chote, minchas kanaus, ein tunus lo shemen velo lavona. The shtei halechem that's offered on Shavuos. The mincha of a sinner. The mincha of a sota. So, do not require neither shemen nor lavona. So, three different types of menachos fits into the fourth category of no shemen and no lavona. Amar of Papa. We move right to the Gemara. Kol hecha d'nan eser t'nan. You know, our Mishnah is 10. Now, when the Gemara says our Mishnah is 10, so what does that mean? So, Rashi offers two pshatim. Probably the pshat you're thinking of right now, because I kind of set you up for that, is the number of menachos mentioned in our Mishnah. But hold on to that thought. That's the second Pshat in Rashi. The first Pshat in Rashi is that traditionally when a mincha is offered, it's offered as a unit of 10, meaning it's going to be broken up into 10 loaves. Take a look at that first Rashi in the Mishnah. Something we're going to be seeing a couple weeks from now on Ayin Vav, and the idea that when you bring a mincha, it's going to be subdivided into 10 different loaves. And why is that? What's then the point of our Mishnah? So la afuki mid Rav Shimon d'amar mechze chalos mechze rekikin yavi kamash malan dilo. So, and the point then is that our Mishnah is not subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. We're going to be hearing Rabbi Shimon a number of times in the next couple of weeks of the Masechta, and he says that when it comes to an oven-baked mincha, it doesn't have to be either all chalos or all rekikim. It could be a blend of five chalos and five rekikim. The point of our Mishnah is that our Mishnah is not subscribing to that viewpoint, being that it treats chalos as one category, rekikim as another category. So it seems to be pretty clear that our Mishnah is not following like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. That's all one pshat of our Gemara according to Rashi. What's the second pshat according to Rashi? Second pshat is what you probably thought. Meaning when giving a listing of those menachos in our Mishnah, which have both oil and lavona, so there are 10 in total. If we subscribe to Rabbi Shimon, there would actually be 11 in total. Because Rabbi Shimon says, how many oven-baked menachos are there? Three. There is one which is made up all of chalos. There's another one which is made up of all rekikin. And there's a third made up of both chalos and rekikin. So if I would have numbered the Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon, I would not have come up to the number 10, I would have come up to the number 11. That's a second shot in the Mishnah according to Rashi.
How does one reconcile the first opinion and say Lechem Aponim is 12 loaves, not 10?
No, but the in other words, in the first pshat in Rashi, it's only going on category one. In other words, the Gemara's comment is only going on the first category. The lechem upon him is already in the fourth category of the Mishnah. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. V'nasata aleha shemen v'lo alechem upon him. Okay. The Gemara now is going to be focusing on the psukim that we already looked at in the beginning of Shir today, and specifically regarding the Omer. As we pointed out already, but let's just quickly go back, the Torah, at the end of the Parsha of the Mincha, so Pasuk Yudalid, speaks about the Karban Omer. The Karban Omer, which, even though, by the way, Rashi points this out on Chumash, right? Look how it opens up. V'im takriv minchas bikurim. You know, if you're going to bring it. You know, if you're going to bring it. There's no if by an Omer. In other words, it's not a voluntary Karban. Annually, every year, when we had a base of Mikdash, we were obligated to bring the Karban Omer. So v'im takriv, if you take a look at Rashi and Chumash over here, hare im mishamish b'lashon ki. So when you see the word im in the Torah, im does not always mean if. In fact, Rashi right here says, no, it means when. So sharei ein zeh rishus sharei ben minchas omer kasam medaber. She chova v'chein v'im hayiyeh yovel. So, and Rashi also offers another pasuk in the Torah where you see clearly the word im does not mean if, but it means when. Okay, I'll give you one which is kind of like on the fence, right? Im kesef talves ami, right? We read it on Yontif, right? If you lend to the people, right? What do you mean if you lend? In other words, it's a mitzvah to lend. So what does it mean if? So over there, you know, it could be when, but in other words, you don't have to lend, but it is a mitzvah to do so. Anyway, so minchas bikurim, Rashi on Chumash says, and we already went over this, that this is talking about the minchas omer, right? And why is it called bikurim? Because it's the first. In other words, it's the first grains that are brought over the year, an idea that we've gone over numerous times. When we get to the seventh parak of Menachos, we will be discussing this extensively. The carbon omer that's brought on the second day of Pesach is a matir. All the grains that grew over the last year are chadash asar min haTorah, and not allowed to eat the new grains until the Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. Now that we don't have a base of Mikdash, so what becomes the matir? The day itself becomes the matir. We're going to talk more about that in the seventh parak. In the meantime, however, the Torah over here, we're focusing really on the ingredients. Torah says very clearly, im takriv minchas bikurim l'Hashem, aviv kalui ba'esh, Geras Carmel Takrivas Minchas Bikurecha. Okay, the grain. The grain, by the way, is barley. An unusual grain that's being brought as a mincha. But that's a point that we're also going to be discussing later. V'nasata aleha shemen, v'samta aleha levona. This is what we're focusing on for a good part of today's daf. We're going to put on it oil. We're going to put on it levona. You see the word aleha, not only once, twice in the Torah. You put on it. What are you hearing when you hear the word aleha? On it to exclude something else. That's the Braisa. And now we get to see the Braisa inside. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. V'nasata aleha shemen v'lo al lechem apanim. Oil goes on this to the exclusion of lechem apanim. Shemen v'lo al lechem apanim shemen. Shiyach v'lo dinhu. Now, in terms of left to our own devices, if we just had a logical argument, where would we have gone? Braisa tells us. Look, minchas esachim, which does not require levona and does require oil. So lechem apanim shetan levona and din shetan shemen. So the lechem apanim, which requires levona, so for sure should require oil. So tamalamar Allah, la shemen v'lo lechem apanim shemen. So therefore, left to our own devices, we could have argued that the lechem apanim should require oil, and so hence we have a drasha. Next, v'samta ala levona, and you're going to put on it levona. Meaning, again, it meaning the carbon omer. So, Allah levona v'lo al minchas esachim levona. It goes on it levona, but not on minchas esachim. Again, that word Allah is an exclusion. Shiyach v'lo din hu malach m'apanim she'in ton shem and ton levona minchas esachim. Shetu'una shem and eno din shetu'una levona. Again, left to our own devices. We had a kavachomer. If we could make a kavachomer, we would have said, look, lechem apanim, which doesn't require shemen requires levona, minchas esachim, which requires oil, should for sure require levona. Now, if you've been following these kavachomers, only two really, so it's not that hard. If you've been following the kavachomers, the first kavachomer is the exact opposite. It's the mirror opposite of the second kavachomer, and of course, vice versa. So it's interesting how sometimes these kavachomers, when you look at them independent of one another, they seem fine, but then when you look at them side by side, you're like, wait one second. That one was just arguing that, oh, if that one has Lavona, then for sure it should have Shemin. And that one's arguing, well, for that one, Hashem, and for sure it should have Lavona. And they're literally the mirror opposites of one another. But anyway, it does demand its own discussion. But anyway, so Tamalamar Allah, La Lavona Vala Minchas Asachim Lavona. But again, the Allah is a miut, and the Allah tells us that Minchas Asachim does not get Lavona. Okay, Mincha, Lerabos, Minchas Shmini, Lelavona. As far as the word Mincha is concerned, what is that coming to include? The Mincha Shmini, the Mincha that's offered on the eighth day. What eighth day are we talking about? In the inauguration of the Mishkan in the desert. So there were seven inaugural days, and then there was the Yom HaShmini, the eighth day. What was the eighth day? That was the opening day. And opening day in the Beis HaMikdash, they offered a special Mincha. Did it require Lavona? Well, the Torah doesn't say in Parsha Shmini. But over here, we're learning now through a drasha. So, Lahotzi Shtealach, Mishalo Yitena Lo Shem of Lavona. And, I'm sorry, Mincha Shmini, La Lavona, Hi Lahotzi Shtealach, Mishalo Yitena Lo Shem of Lavona. The Shtealach, on the other hand, requires neither. Neither Shemin nor Lavona. Right, what we had in our mission is category number four. Adkan Divrei HaBraisa, that is the end of the Braisa, and Kedarko, as we normally do throughout the Gemara, we quote a Braisa, we dissect the Braisa. Let's go back to the beginning. Amar Mar, Allah Shem Avlo Alechem Apanim Shemen. So we said that, again, the Psukim are talking about the Omer, the Karban Omer, where it has Shemen, and what are we excluding the Lechem Apanim, which does not have Shemen? Now, there's so many types of menachos out there. In other words, in our Mishnah, we've gone through over a dozen different types of menachos. And so when the Torah says that it requires Shemen, but something else doesn't, like, of all the things we're coming to exclude are the Lechem Aponim. Like, why are we excluding the Lechem Aponim? Why is that so clearly the one being excluded when the Torah doesn't tell us which one is being excluded? And so, and there are over a dozen to choose from, so why the Lechem Aponim? So, Ema Allah Shemen V'lo Minchas Kohanim Shemen. So the Gemara says, look, we could have said that this doesn't require oil, but the Minchas Kohanim, I'm sorry, let me say that again, let me say it better. This does require oil, meaning the Omer requires oil, and what's excluded? Excluded is Minchas Kohanim, the Mincha offered by a Kohen. So the Gemara says, Mistabra Minchas Kohanim Havilah the Rebuya Shekain. And so the Gemara says, look, it makes more sense that we're going to include the Mincha of a Kohen, because, in other words, And this really takes us back to the Rashi at the very beginning of the Daf. And let's just quickly run back to the Rashi at the very beginning of the Daf, and you'll see what's happening right now. Rashi points out in the very beginning, Minchas Asolos Demisnadev Minchas Stam Mevi Isar and Solos V'Shemen V'Lavona Ubola V'Komsa Kamo Shihi Chaya Uvidideik Siv Shemen Ulavona B'Chol Hanachachrini Lok Siv Lavona Ella Miminchas Sola Gamrinan. There's only one of all the menachos in the Torah, meaning we went through the Psukim in the beginning of Shir today. Of all of them, the Omer at the end of the Parsha, and only in the beginning of the Parsha, where we talk about Mincha Solas, your standard Mincha of fine flour. Those are the only times throughout the entire Torah, throughout the entire Parsha, where it actually mentions Shemen Lavona. It doesn't mention Shemen Lavona in any of the other menachos. When you get to the Oven baked mincha mafet tanur, no mention of shemen lavona. Actually, that's not totally true. It says shemen, but in other words, no mention of lavona. The machvas as well, no mention of lavona. Marcheshes also, no mention of lavona. So in other words, the only place that we have it clearly is in the solas, the standard mincha that's discussed in the beginning of the parsha, and on the omer at the end of the parsha. So how do we arrive at these conclusions that so many of the menachos require both Shemen and Lavona? Now let's go back to our Gemara. Let's see all this now inside. So right after the Braisa, Amar Mar, Allah Shemen v'lo Lechem Apanim Shemen. So we're excluding Lechem Apanim. So the Gemara says, Ema Allah Shemen v'lo Minchas Kohanim Shemen. Well, why not exclude a Mincha V'Kohen from Shemen? So Mistabra Minchas Kohanim Havala the Rebuya Shekein. No, if anything, it makes sense that for a Mincha V'Kohen, so that should require oil. Why? And now the Gemara is going to go over 6 points of connection, six details in which a standard mincha is just like the mincha of a Kohen. And they are, number one, the amount of flour he's serving. Number two, kli that both put into a kli sharis. By the way, the lechem upon him, all this, by the way, is not true by the lechem upon him. The amount of flour is not an isarin, actually it's two isarin. The lechem upon him is not put into a kli sharis. We just went over this idea recently. In other words, it gets baked, and the kedusha is only when it goes on the shulchan. Three chutz. A standard mincha is in the azara. Lechem upon him actually goes into the heichal. Four tzura. The fact that it is going to be consumed on the day that it's prepared. Lechem upon him, that's not true. The lechem upon him is not going to be consumed until 8 days after it's prepared. Meaning it's prepared on Erev Shabbos, put on the Shulchan on Shabbos. I guess you can count that as 9 days. In other words, so from Friday to the following Shabbos. So that makes it different. Number five, Hagasha. For a standard mincha and for the mincha of a kohen, there's a mitzvah of Hagasha. Lechem upon him, there's no mitzvah of Hagasha. Number six, Ishim. Part of a standard mincha and the mincha of a kohen are burnt on the Mizbeach. No part of the lechem upon him are burnt on the Mizbeach. The bazichin are burnt, the levona in the bazichin are burnt on the Mizbeach, but no part of the actual lechem upon him themselves. Okay, so 6 points of connection between a standard mincha and the mincha of a kohen, which means that just like a standard mincha has shem and levona, same thing is true with the gering mincha's kohen, none of these are true by the lechem upon him. Adarabba lechem upon him havala l'rabui shekein. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. The lechem upon him, I can make an argument that the lechem upon him should require oil and levona. Why? Because, and now we're going to note the similarities that exist between the lechem upon him and the omer. Because we already learned that the omer requires both oil and levona. So now, if we find enough connection points between a minchas kohen and the omer, so the Gemara says, so then you will say that the Let me do that better. If I find enough connection points between the lechem upon him and the omer, thank you. So then lechem upon him should have oil and levona. Number one, it's a carbon sibor. Lechem upon him is sibor, as is the omer. Number two, chova, they're both obligations. Number three, tamya, because they're public karbanos. If the majority of the people are tamay, we're still going to bring it. Number four, achil, they are going to be consumed. As opposed to the mincha of a kohen, by the way, which is not going to be consumed. Mincha's kohen is totally burnt on the mizbech. Number five, pigula, subject to a pigo machshava. Interesting, it's not true by a mincha's kohen. Why not? Because in order to be subject to pigo, there has to be a matir and a nitar. By mincha's kohen, there's no matir nitar. It's all burnt on the mizbech. Number six, bishabasa, it is offered on Shabbos. The omer is offered on Shabbos. If the second day of Pesach falls out on a Shabbos, you're still going to bring the carbon omer. Just in my mind, I'm thinking, nowadays with the fixed calendar, that's never going to happen. Right? The Pesach, lo badu, right? We say lo adu rosh. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei cannot fall out on a Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Rosh Chodesh Nisan in our fixed calendar cannot come out on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if Rosh Chodesh Nisan can come out on a Friday, so that means that the 15th of Nisan also cannot come out on a Friday. So that means to say that the second day of Pesach will never be on a Shabbos. Okay, let's move ahead. Anyway, that's with our fixed calendar. The Mistaber Nefesh. The Gemara says, okay, that's wonderful, all well and good, but you know what's going to be, in other words, and by the way, for those who have been keeping score, which I've been one of those people, so now it's a tie, 6-6. Meaning, so if I'm trying to compare the lechem upon him, what is it more comparable to? So, is it more comparable to the omer, or is the minchas kohen more comparable to the omer? So we have six going in one direction, six going in another direction. Mistaber nefesh. The Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? The deciding vote is going to be the fact that the Torah, when introducing us to the idea of mincha, says nefesh. Nefesh means when an individual brings. So that means to say that a minchas kohen is brought by an individual, so therefore it requires shem and levona. Lechem upon him, on the other hand, is not brought by an individual. It's a communal karban, so therefore no shem and levona. Let's continue. Amar mar ala levona v'lo minchas usachem levona. So what is excluded from levona? Meaning the Torah by the omer says that the karban omer, the minchas omer, requires levona. Something else does not. What are we excluding? Minchas Asachim. And once again, Ema Allah Levona V'Allah Minchas Kohanim Levona. So the Gemara, again, Why did we say, it's the same basic idea. Why did we exclude the Minchas Asachim? Why not exclude the Minchas of a Kohen? So, Mistabra Minchas Kohen and Mahavala the Rebuya Shekain. Well, Minchas Kohen for sure should require Lavona. Think of the number of common factors that connect a Minchas Kohen with a standard Mincha. Isarin, the amount of flour. Balul, it's mixed with oil. Belog, the amount of oil. Mugash, the mitzvah of Hagasha. Biglal Atzmo, it comes as a result of itself, meaning it's not coming as an attachment to something else. All 5 points that we just made are not true by the Nesachim, by the Minchas Nesachim. Minchas Nesachim, how much flour, it's more than Isarin. How much oil, it's more than one. I'm sorry, there's no mitzvah Belila. There's no log shemen by the Minchas Nesachim. It's three log shemen. By Minchas Nesachim, there's no mitzvah of Hagasha. And it does not come on account of itself. Good. So, Adarabah, Minchas Nesachim, Havel Rebu Yishikain. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Minchas Nesachim, for sure should require Lavona. Think of all the ways that it's similar to a Karban Omer. Tzibor, it's a public Karban. Chova, it's an obligation. Itamu, Bishabasa, because it's a public Karban. So it's going to override Tum, it's going to override Shabbos. And Mistabar Nefesh. And again, the Gemara says, that's great. Again, many different connection points in terms of Minchas Nesachim. However, the overarching deciding vote is going to be Nefesh. The fact that when the Torah opens up the Parsha of Mincha, where the requirement of oil and Lavona is mentioned, so the Torah over there says Nefesh, which means when an individual brings, so that's going to require oil and Lavona. Being that Minchas Nesachim is not an individual carbon, so therefore there's no requirement of Lavona. But again, in of itself, that's not enough information, meaning we need the exclusion from the Minchas Omer. Let's continue. Mincha l'rabos, mincha shmini l'lavona. The mincha of shmini on the eighth day of the inauguration requires lavona. V'ema l'hotzi. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Maybe it doesn't require lavona. Haima, iamar b'shalom l'rabos shapir. If the whole point over here is inclusion, that's very good. Ela iamar l'hotzi l'amali. Shami doros l'yafinan. But if the whole point of is exclusion, so then why would I need a drasha to talk about exclusion? We don't learn out a mincha that was only brought on one occasion, which... The mincha of Shmini is for all future generations. He lo tishtei alechem v'shalo yitun lo shemen v'lo lavona. The word he, again, at the end of the parsha, where the Torah talks about the Omer, so the Torah says, the Torah uses the word he. And he, at the very end, is coming to tell me that it doesn't get any of the above. Right? V'samta ala lavona mincha he. Right? Pasuk tasvav. So what is the he coming to do? It's coming to exclude. And what is it coming to exclude? The she'alechem. She'alechem gets neither. Neither shemen nor lavona. So, shelo yitan lo shemen v'lo lavona. Ve'em lo hotzi minchas kohanim. And again, we have a miyut. How do I know that the miyut is going on the she'alechem? Maybe the miyut is going on the minchas kohen. Now, I know the minchas kohen over here is getting a lot of, you know, quote-unquote unfair treatment. In that many times the Gemara now today, this is the third attempt today to say that the Minchas Kohen should be excluded from Shemen and Lavona. But if you think about it though, it's a reasonable suggestion based on the fact that the Minchas Kohen is unlike a standard Mincha. Standard Mincha, Kometz goes up onto the Mizbech, the rest of it's going to be consumed. By the Mincha of a Kohen, none of it's going to get consumed. It's all going to be burnt on the Mizbech. Consequently, you can make an argument, which is what the Gemara is trying to do, that there should be no shemen, there should be no lavona. Nobody's eating it, no one's consuming it, and so therefore that should be excluded. Mistamra minchas kohanim havel rebuya shekein again, and here we go once again. The mincha of a kohen should in fact be included for shemen lavona because think of all the ways that a minchas kohen is similar to a standard mincha. Isar in the amount of flour, kli, it's both paste and kli, matzah, it is made unleavened, unlike the she'alechem, which is leavened. Etzem, it comes as a result of itself. She'alechem is not coming on its own. It's joined, it's co-joined with the kivsei atzeres. Hagasha, there's a mitzvah of Hagasha when it comes to a standard mincha and the mincha of a kohen. That's not true by the she'alechem. Ishim, it's burnt on the fire. The she'alechem, none of it is burnt on the fire. Adarabba, the Gemara says, okay, let's argue the other way. Shtei alechem, havele the rebuye, shtei alechem, should require oil, should require lavona. Think about the ways that it's similar to a carbon omer. Now, the omer, as we already established a number of times, has shemen and has lavona. So the Shtei Alechem also should require Shemen Lavona. Why? Shekein Stibur, the public Karbanos Chovetz, an obligation, Tanya. It is going to be Doche Tuma, being that it's a public Karban. De Achal, we eat it, unlike the Mincha of a Kohen, which we don't eat. Pigula, subject to Pigul. We went over this point earlier this morning. The Mincha's Kohen is not subject to Pigul, because in order to be subject to Pigul, you need a Matir Nitar construct, and you don't have that by the Mincha's Kohen. Bishabas, it's Doche Shabbos. Interesting, by the way, the Gemara here broke up Tumah and Shabbos. Those two points are really connected. A public carbon which overrides the Shabbos. Matir, they serve as a matir. Consider that the Omer, the carbon Omer on the second day of Pesach, allows for us to eat the grains. The Shtei Alechem that's offered on Shavuos allows new grains to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. They both serve as a matir. Tenufa, they both have a waving requirement. Ba'aretz, they're only brought from grain that grows in Eretz Yisrael. And Bizman Chadash, they're both being brought from new grains. By definition, that's the whole idea. Meaning they're being brought from new grains to be matir, the new grains. Vahani Nefishin. And the Gemara says once again, if you've been keeping score over here, which I have, so now it comes out that the score is 6-10. 6-10, by the way, in favor of that the Shtei Alechem should have Shemen and should have Lavona. So if we now looked at all the connecting points, so now the conclusion should be the Shtei Alechem should require Shemen Lavona. Now we know that's not the correct conclusion. We read the Mishnah this morning. And we know that, and the Drasha, the Braisa, the Shtei Alechem is excluded from Shemen Lavona. The Gemara answers very simply, Mistabra Nefesh. Again, the overarching deciding vote is going to be the opening of the Parsha. The Parsha opens up with the words Nefesh, which means, which is typically going to have Shemen Lavona? Karbanos that are offered by an individual. Since the Shtei Alechem is a communal carbon, and we don't have a pasuk in the Torah that says that it should get Shemen Lavona, so therefore it is on the chopping block. It's not only on the chopping block, it has been cut off from both Shemen and Lavona. Okay. That kind of takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf. Let's continue. The next part in the next Mishnah, Chayv al Shemen bifnei atzmo v'chayv al Lavona bifnei atzmo. You're going to be chayv on both, meaning, if you take the mincha of a chote, which as we already established in the first half of today's daf, does not have shemen, does not have lavona, what if you put shemen lavona on it? You're violating isurim in the Torah. And they are separate isurim. One isur for shemen, one isur for lavona. That's the point of the Mishnah. Chayv al shemen bifnei atzmo v'chayv al lavona bifnei atzmo, nasan al shemen pasla. Now let's say you put shemen on it. Not only did you violate isur in the Torah, but on top of that, you're also disqualified. You can't get the shemen out. Lavona yoketenu. You see, when you put Lavona on, so you did violate an Isser in the Torah, but it is correctable, right? The Mishnah quotes the pasuk from Mishle, Mu'uvas asher lo yuchal litkon. Some certain mistakes which are uncorrectable, right? God forbid, right? Two people get together who are not married to one another, and she's married to somebody else, and they have a child. The child's a mamzer. Okay, all the apologies in the world cannot change the fact that a mamzer was created. Right, by the way, that's the example the Mishnah gives. Certain mistakes are uncorrectable. Here, so obviously this is not as emotional. We're talking about oil and Lavona on a Minchas Chote. But oil, it's an uncorrectable mistake because the oil seeps into the Mincha and you can't get it out. Lavona, on the other hand, it's very coarse, a coarse spice that you're just laying on top of it. Okay, so you shouldn't have put it on, so just pick it up. Nasan Shemen al Shiraha, ino over below Sase. Now on the Shirayim, can you put oil on the Shirayim of the Minchas Chote? So it's interesting because we learned just yesterday or 2 days ago that in terms of the Shirayim eaten by the Kohanim, how can they eat the Shirayim any which way they want? In fact, what would be preferable to them, right? Lemashcha, legdula, they should be eating it in a way which is of dignity and royalty. Over here, the Mincha of a Chote, so I don't know, just I'm thinking out loud right now. I don't know if there's an iser to prepare it anyway. Meaning, does the Kohen have to eat it in its dry state? Maybe. But the Mishnah's point is that if you put oil on the Shirayim, you're not violating iser in the Torah. Nasan kli agabe kli lo pasla. Let's say you put oil in the Lavona. Sorry, I didn't mean that. You put oil in the Mincha. That I meant. You put oil in the Minchas Chote, but you don't put the oil into the Minchas Chote, meaning so that it actually absorbs in. You put it in like a little bowl, in the Minchas Chote. So you have not disqualified it. It's kind of an obvious point, meaning because the bowl that is holding the oil obviously is preventing the oil now from going into the Mincha and seeping into the Mincha. I guess you might have thought that technically you did put oil in the Mincha. Granted, it's, you know, in its own little, you know, salad dressing bowl, but you did put oil in the Mincha. Anyway, you have not disqualified the Mincha. Tanu Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara today. Lo yasim alaha alein shemen velo. I'm sorry. Lo yasim aleim shemen. Okay, we're now going back to the Mincha of the Chote. The Mincha of the Chote, by the way, is not mentioned in Perek Beis. We went this morning over all the psukim in Perek Beis, and that's not where you're going to find the Mincha of the Chote. You're not going to find it until you get to the fifth Perek of Vayikra, where there the Torah talks about the sinner, certain chatayim, it's not a lot of them, but for certain chatayim, so based on the economic status of the person who sinned, so he's allowed, if he can't afford an animal, bring either pair of birds, and he can't afford a pair of birds if he's dali dalos, so then he brings a mincha. Torah says, lo yasim alehen shemen, don't put oil on, the im sam pasal. So, but if he does put it on, he disqualifies it. What about the Lavona? Same thing. So Tamalamra Kichatas. So the Torah says Kichatas, meaning it's not going to be disqualified with Lavona. He. What about oil? The word he. So in other words, it sounds like from the Braisa, it's a drusha issue. Meaning putting oil on, uncorrectable mistake. Putting Lavona on, a correctable mistake. Now from the Braisa we just learned together, it's based on Psukim. Based on Psukim, isn't it based on more like the pragmatics, like we discussed earlier? The Gemara makes that point. The 2 points go hand in hand. Meaning the reason why we're darshaning in two different directions is because when oil goes into the Mincha V'chote, you can't get it out. You can't squeeze it out. As opposed to Lavona, which is a coarse spice that's placed on top of the Minchas Chotation to put it on, correctable, just take it off. Let's say you take the Lavona, you put it through the grinder, and you grind it up real fine. And now you put it on the Mincha. So here now becomes the problem. When it was nice and coarse, so you just simply scoop it off. But now it's fine ground. So, Mahu, Mishim De'eshalakta, V'halo Eshalakta. Is the fact that it doesn't disqualify the Mincha predicated on the fact that you could take it off? Over here, now that it's fine and powdered, you really can't take it off. Odilma mishum delo mivla. Or maybe no, maybe it's a function of the fact that it doesn't absorb into the Mincha like the oil would absorb. V'hanami lo mivla. And even as it's powdered Lavona, so yeah, it's going to be next to impossible to take it off, but it doesn't get absorbed into the Mincha. Maybe should be okay. So Tashma v'lavoni yokatena. Now the Gemara says, don't we know the answer? Meaning, didn't we just read the Mishnah? The Mishnah said with absolute clarity that the reason why the Mincha would be okay, the Mincha's Chot, is because I could take it off. Sounds like that if I can't take it off, it's not okay. The Gemara says, Dima chada v'od kamar, chada lo mivla v'od yokatena. Maybe the Mishnah was making 2 points. One, it doesn't absorb, therefore it doesn't disqualify. Two, if you can, take it out. But in other words, but in terms of disqualification, by virtue of the fact that it doesn't absorb, that's enough. Tashma machshirani b'lavona shef shalokta. So once again, we look at the Braisa. The Braisa, again, reads really simply that because I can remove the Lavona, therefore it doesn't disqualify the Minchas Omer. I didn't mean Omer. Sorry, I got a lot of menachos running through my head today, understandably. I meant the Minchas Chote. So the Braisa says, take the Lavona off the Minchas Chote. Again, reading it really simply sounds like only when I take it off is it going to be okay. So Hachana Michadav Od Ka'amar. So the Gemara says, again, we could read the Braisa the same way as we read the Mishnah. It doesn't disqualify because it doesn't absorb. And if you can, take it off. My Havi Allah, the Gemara says, okay, can we try to conclude on this topic? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Tanya Minchas Chote Minchas Kanos Shenasan La Lavona Malaka Es Lavona Ukishera. If you remove the Lavona, then and only then it becomes kosher. V'imashal Olikei Lavonta Chishav Ala Ben Chutz Zman Ben Chutz Mkama Pasul V'im Bo Kares. Now, while the Lavon is on, let's say you have a Machshavas Pegel. Mm-hmm. The Machshavas is not good. Because the Mincha is no good. Mm-hmm. And it's really clear now in this Braisa that while the Lavon is on, it's no good. The im shalike levonta mechashav ala chutzim makom ala chutzim koma posel vein bokaris chutz lazman apikul vechayav and like vechayav and alav karis but once you take the lavona off now the minchas chote is good. Any machshava is going to be a registered machshava and will invalidate in the way that machshavas normally do. For chutzim komo, disqualification. For chutz lazmano, disqualification with also in iser karis for anyone who eats it. We'll stop over here with the words for Tehavi Pach. Tomorrow, we're going to open up with that question.